couldn't even. Sorry. All right. Hi. Welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode 30.5. It's a special episode. And yeah, we're doing Secluded by Petra Abernathy. This is an Amazon special. And this episode will mark the last one for season 2.
And your name is Delaney.
And I'm, yes, and your name is Mariah. And
yeah, and our podcast is
the podcast where we are searching for the most attractive man in fiction.
Yes.
We're probably not going to rank this guy. These guys. There's four of them.
No, because this is a special episode. Yeah. And we don't rank the guys from special episodes.
Yeah. And
for I don't really have a reason. We just decided we wouldn't rate these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're probably going to go on hiatus after this, probably returning January of next year for season 3. But at the end of this episode, we're going to give you guys a list of some books that we might do. And then you can get ahead, read along, be prepared for future episodes, like we definitely will be. Yeah, so this one is one we read like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's a weird one in terms of like it was really short, and so we weren't sure like if we were going to use it or what we were going to do with it. And
yes.
Yeah, so we ended up doing it. Mariah just reread it.
Yesterday and today a little bit. No, actually, I think I might have finished it all yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. because when I read it the first time, I didn't take any notes.
Yeah.
So I was like, if we're going to talk about this, and it's been 6 months, I might need to read this book again.
Yeah. First thoughts, Mariah?
Well, what...
Second thoughts, Mariah?
What, I remembered from the first time of reading it was that it was just sex. I really didn't remember other plot. And after I finished it, I was like, oh, it's just sex. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, there's a lot that goes on. I was like reading it yesterday and I was like, you knew that I had gotten to the second sexual encounter.
Yeah.
And so I knew there was more coming, but like, I was surprised by how much more was coming that wasn't sex. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But it really didn't have any lasting impression on me in any way. Because I was reading these things and I was like, this was shocking to me that this happened. And I've read this book.
That's actually really good. Like, second impression is that you don't remember the first impression and probably won't remember this again.
I legitimately, there's a few times I started taking notes again and I was like, wow. I knew, like, they were foreshadowing things and I was like, I've read this book, so I know what they're foreshadowing. And then I was wrong. So, yeah. That was my second first impression.
Nice.
But yeah, it wasn't good enough to capture any other thing other than all I remembered was that there were sex scenes in it. So
yeah.
And not a great first impression.
Yeah, my overall thoughts, I did think it was quite sex positive, like in terms of like women's sexuality being celebrated as something that is important and valuable, which it isn't always done. So that was a positive. But yeah, overall the sex was kind of like, I don't know, I thought there was a good tone for a book that's all sex. Like, I feel like some books that are all sex, they kind of forget that they're all sex and they get randomly really, like, serious. But this one never forgot that that's what it was doing.
Yes.
Like, she was like, this is what I'm trying to accomplish, and the tone was pretty consistent. Yes.
Well, I was also reading some reviews yesterday, and you know, like, when we read I Married a Lizard Man, we were like, oh, this is, like... Mm-hmm. People who want to read, like, alien romance. This book is a reverse harem romance. And I was like, oh, it has, like, it's a very specific trope.
Yeah.
But we hadn't named it until I started reading the reviews. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I knew that's what it was. But
I just didn't, like, put a word. I knew what it was in terms of it was four guys all having sex with this one girl.
Yeah.
And not separately.
No.
But I didn't, like, label it in my head as a reverse harem.
And now you have.
And now I have, because I was reading reviews. And I just can't, the Amazon reviews, everyone was giving it like 4 or more stars. And they're like, it's so good. It's such a good paced novel. The story was so like, really had me engrossed. And I was like, really? It really did? Like, who are the people reading these books and writing these positive reviews? It was like I can't remember the total score, but it was like between 4 and 5 stars was its average.
Okay, well, the thing is, I do think it was good for Amazon.
Yeah.
Because, Rocket in My Pocket had overwhelmingly positive
reviews as well.
And I was like, that wasn't even, like, that was a nonsensical book. It made no sense.
I can't fathom. I guess people are just going to these books wanting
sex.
And they're like,
wow, intrigued. It's kind of okay.
It's kind of okay, and it's not just opening on sex and then sex story over. They're like, hey, there was like
plot.
Priests and wizards and whatever.
Yeah.
There were no wizards. There were witches, but
whatever. But yeah, it is astonishing the overwhelmingly positive reviews for some of these very mediocre stories.
Yeah. Okay, should we get into this now?
Yeah, we really should.
Okay. Okay, quick summary from me. Let's see if I can remember the names today, a whole 24 hours later. So our main character's name is Greta. She is a priestess, which means that she is like spiritually connected to a goddess. Mm-hmm. And the goddesses in this world, they all pray to them. And there are multiple reasons the goddess is important. The only one that is emphasized is that she can make the town horny.
Yeah.
She can do more things, but that one's like real important. So the priestess is secluded in a tower, captured by a lord. Like, she's
been held by
a lord of a village. And she wants to escape.
Yeah.
And then 4 guys who are on a mission to save her show up.
And they save her.
And then the story is the 5 of them
escaping
and falling in love in reverse harem ways.
Yeah. Yeah, as you do. So yeah, we start with Greta. She is locked in her tower. She's interacting with like the only person that she gets to interact with, which is this lady named Nona. So yeah, this Lord Argon guy, not a cool dude. Did you talk about that the goddesses can soul travel?
No.
Okay. The goddesses can soul travel.
Which means she basically like puts a handkerchief or a blindfold over her eyes, and then she can go anywhere in the world that she wants.
Yeah, but she can't, like, interact.
No.
She can just
She's just, like, an observer.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
So she does that all the time. Mm-hmm. Also, though, it says in this chapter that she can only interact with Nona, but later she talks about how she goes for walks and loves talking to the villagers. And I was like, so you're not that secluded. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, she's not allowed to touch any of them, but she can engage with them.
Yeah.
I also don't know how she's never touched a human, because it's talked about how she's never touched a human. I'm like, you're allowed to go for walks. People have never just, like,
touched you?
Yeah. Ever?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
And today is also ceremony day,
yeah, there's a big ceremony, which, again, why are you guys letting her out?
Out on ceremony day.
But she's out and about, and then, you know, we switch POVs to one of our main guys, Idris.
Oh, I didn't say their name, but I do remember them.
Okay, yeah.
But his name is Idris.
Idris. We'll just introduce them as they come. He's got an inner dragon.
Yes.
Have we established that he shapeshifts?
No, but he's like a lord of the dragons, which means that he has a dragon in him and shapeshifts into dragon.
Okay, great.
So he is the leader of a mission to rescue the priestess of this town, which is Greta.
Yeah. And so he has his 3 people. I wrote the 3 people at this time. Okay. So he's got 3 other guys.
Which is Casper,
who's
a witch. And then Elaine, which is an elemental who can control air. Mm-hmm. And Rai, who is an elemental that can control earth.
Yeah, and they're twins.
Yeah. And they're all wanting to save a priestess.
Yeah, so they only met a few days ago. Some anonymous person has, like, paid them to go rescue her.
Yeah. And at this point, also, we figure out that, like, well, Casper and Idris are, like, into each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been, like, giving each other the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so The other thing is this Lord Argon guy, he's part of the Bool, which is like the ruling class. They're like the upper class.
Yeah.
And they're the patriarchy.
Yes. And they like, they have priestesses. Yeah. But they don't like any other magic wielders.
Yeah.
So like the four of these guys coming into this town is like,
They're not welcome here.
No. They've got to be like incognito.
Yeah. And then they find her. They just
walk,
run into her.
Yeah, on the street. Like, all of a sudden, they're like, that's her. And she notices them, and she's like, those four people, they really stand out.
Yeah, they're really magic-seeming.
But there is a thing about the magic people, because if you have an aura, if you're magic, you have an aura. And if you're magic, you can see other magic wielders' auras.
Yeah, so she was like, those seem to be some
More powerful auras, because there are like really low level magicians in the town, but like the Bool don't care about them because they like can't do anything impressive.
Yeah. So it's like whatever. But so
she she sees these guys and she's like, hello.
Yeah, hello, a bunch of hot guys.
And they just approach her and they're like, we know you're the priestess. Would you like to run away?
And she's like, yes. And then plot begins. Which is just,
I remember, because he says after she leaves, mm-hmm. and they've got like a plan, because she's going to do the ceremony, and during the chaos of the ceremony, she'll like escape with them. Yeah. They're going to pretend to be her pallbearers. Is that the wrong word? Trolley bearers? What's the word?
I don't know, but I think Paul that Harris feels for dead. Coffin.
What is it called while you're alive?
I don't know. It might be the same word, but like my first thought was just like
she's dead.
For coffin. They're gonna be the
four dudes that carry her in her thing, which I did write down.
It's the litter.
The litter, right. For litter bearers?
Maybe.
Anyways. She leaves, and they're, like, going back to their ship, and he was like, we were really lucky there. And I thought that was so funny, because in all of the Amazon specials,
something insanely lucky happens
and they never comment on it. It's just like, it happened, and you're like, come on. But he was like, actually, the odds of that happening were, like, so low, like, we're really lucky. And I was like, I like that you pointed it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the plot's got to get going, because this book is fast.
Yeah. So we're on chapter two now. We're switching to Casper's POV. And he thinks about how he isn't really in this for the money. He is, like, the child of one of these priestesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had a male child, and so everyone was like, well, you're useless to us.
Yes.
And they
killed him. So they killed his mom, mm-hmm. and then, like, banished him.
Yeah.
And he was, like, supposed to die, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And so now he just, like, wants to learn about priestesses and, like, learn about where he came from, I guess.
And, like, so for him, liberating a priestess is, like, something that matters to him. Yeah. As opposed to just being, I'm paid to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he also, like, looks at her and he's like, oh, she's, like, really hot. It's going to be so hard to keep her pure, because the thing about the priestesses is they have to be virgins.
Yes, otherwise they lose their connection to the goddess.
Yeah. Yeah. So, then we switch to Greta's POV. She, like, cuts open a bull's throat.
During the ceremony.
Not just for fun.
It's like the sacrifice to the goddess.
Yes. Yeah. And she feels very powerful because she's, like, making everyone around her horny.
Yes.
And then they proceed to have festival time.
Yes. And so all of the people go into crazy chaos mode. Yeah. And she, like, sneaks away.
Yeah.
And they carry her litter.
Yes.
I really don't know how they picked up her litter without anyone being like, those aren't the guards.
Those aren't the guys that normally take the litter.
But whatever. I guess the guys who normally take the litter, like, raced off to have some fun times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as they're walking through the village to the ship, they can see how powerful she is because, like, the horniness is, like,
reached.
Like, they had hired a ship with a whole group of people to, like, ferry them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we won't be able to use those people now because they've, like,
They're gone.
Because, they said, stay with the boat. And they're like, her power reached too far. They're definitely not still with the boat.
Well,
So they, like, have to steal a boat.
Yeah.
And they do, and they get out of town.
Yeah. Chapter 3?
Yeah.
So, I wrote, Dragon Boy Idris is captivated by Greta. And, yes, like, they all are. They're, like,
they're all, wow, captivated. And she's, like, captivated by them.
Yeah.
My only point that I wrote for, like, her beginning to interact with them is she talks about how she's, like, man, they're each so unique. Like, they have, like, look at them all. They're so different. And, like, I just know that each one of them is special in their own way. I'm, like, have you spoken to any of them other than Idris at this point? She's, like, so enthralled. I'm, like, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
This, like, notion that, like,
you insta-love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And we have no reason to, mm-hmm, love any of these men yet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even... She just, like, describes what she sees in them, and she's like, oh, Idris, he's the mysterious one. I don't really know if that's...
I know.
Or whatever, but Casper, he's the strong but silent type. And Elaine, he's so fun. Just look at him.
I'm like, yeah.
How?
Yeah. Like, you haven't talked to
them. And they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
For me to be like, oh, yeah, he's, like, the fun one. You can't just look at men and know what kind of man they are.
Yeah.
They have to actually speak and do things. But this, she literally, the way she describes them, none of them have spoken, but she spends time describing, like, each one in terms of how they look, which equates to what kind of man they are. And I'm, yeah, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And, like, it is, as the reader, like, I don't know, that you don't want the first impression of your characters to be, like, what your main character told us.
Like, you want us to get it ourselves.
Let us decide,
yeah,
what their personality is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get to the boat, and they're off.
Yeah. It's her first time at sea. Mm-hmm. She's so excited.
I wrote second comment on her wide mouth.
Really?
So I guess twice.
She has a wide mouth.
It's mentioned that she has a wide mouth. My notes are horrible. There's a storm coming, though.
That's
what I got.
Yes. So Elaine is gonna control the winds.
Yeah.
Idris is gonna steer the boat. Casper is gonna, like, use his magic to keep a map going.
Yeah.
And then
Rye is gonna support Elaine who's doing the wind thing.
Yeah. And Greta, I don't know what she does.
Yeah.
She is helpful, though, because they say, just sit in the undercover, and she's like, no, I can help. Oh, another thing that's important to mention about is the aura thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so...
Because she also can't use too much magic.
Or else they'll know where she is.
Because she has an aura. Especially her sisters, because she has two sisters,
mm-hmm,
who, like, know...
They can use their soul flight thing and, find her. And
they know what she feels like, so they could find her really easily. So she has to be, like,
really,
really
on the down,
on the down low.
Not accessing goddess things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, so they're in the storm. They're approaching this island.
Yeah.
And, like... There's weird vibes about the island, and it explains later why. I, like, don't even understand. It's really stupid. But, like, Rye, who, like, loves Earth,
is like
we shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
And then, like, Idris is like, I know what this island is, and it's not a good place for us, but we don't have a choice. I'm like, what's the island?
Yeah! Like, yeah.
Like, what the heck does this mean? And, like, Greta has never even soul searched there. Like, it's this very, like...
It's weird island.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get there, and I assume it's at this point, Greta sees Cass and Idris kiss.
Yeah, because they're, like, tying, like, the boat down, and
yeah,
she's hiding in a cave or something, and she sees them.
Yeah, and then she's like, wow, damn, that's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wrote that Rye makes a comment that they should just bang in the cave then and there. Like, I don't know if he's, like, all of them or just him and her.
No. Just Idris and Casper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
He's like, if those two want to bang,
we're
not going to give them the cave because it's raining out, so they'll just have to bang in front of us. That is.
Nice. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it switches to Idris's perspective, and there's, like, some sort of enchantment on the island. I don't know how.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they talk about it constantly, this island, that there's, like, weird stuff going on it. And we find out what it is, and I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I thought, it was absurd. But it was intriguing for a second. Yeah, and then also I wrote that Idris thinks about how any of them sleep with Greta, then she's going to be way less powerful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they also know Because, like, Casper is trying to find a way to, like, hide her aura. Because the only way she can hide it successfully is when she's awake.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're going to need to sleep. Like, it's impossible. So they're trying to figure out a way that he could watch her while she's sleeping.
Yeah.
She's already fallen asleep. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think she slept yet. But maybe everyone else is sleeping.
Like... Yeah, so I guess she's just sitting there. I don't know. But anyways, Casper can't figure out anything. So they're like, what are we going to do? They know... the best thing to do would be to have sex with her, but
yeah. they don't know who's gonna have sex with her.
And they kind of feel a little bad about it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, she's gonna be less powerful, but we have to hide her. Like, we've got to do it.
Yes.
So chapter 5, Cass offers.
Idris says it has to be him.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I think for magic reasons. Maybe. Like, I don't know, but yeah. Cass is like, I'll take one for the team, guys, and I'll sleep with her.
So he does. I wrote nothing down about him and her sleeping together. He goes to talk to her, and he's like, I know what we need to do. And she's like, I wanted it to be, like, love. And he was like, I'll make it good for you.
Yeah. I wrote a line that I assume is my least favorite line. I don't know who said it.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable to read it.
Okay.
That's my amazing girl, still rising to the challenge as the thoughtlet fucker ruts into you. I was like, who?
It's gotta be Idris then.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's just a weird thing for him to say.
It's so weird. That's so weird. I understand that reading it. Like, he's saying, she's so great as he plows into you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah. So, like, they're having a real good time.
And then Casper, it's like, he realizes that he loves her in that moment.
Yeah.
And also he's like, I know where we are.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay.
But he doesn't say.
Because they have a very magical, sexy time.
Yeah. But, like, he pulls away. Like, he says that there was this moment where he felt like he could have gone even further.
Yeah.
And he stopped himself. And so she, when she orgasms.
Yeah.
Screams, and she says that she screams in, like, pleasure and frustration because she knows he denied
her
whatever the extra thing was. And she was ready to give him, and he wasn't ready to give her.
Yeah, because they were having a weird time.
Yeah, but also too, in the priest thing. So, like, she's technically lost her power, but both of them comment on how she feels, like, stronger now.
Yeah, as opposed to weaker.
But she does, and she doesn't lose connection to her goddess either. I'm pretty confused. Oh, yeah. It's explained.
Yeah.
So she doesn't lose connection to her goddess, even though she's been told her whole life.
She would. But that's because it was a lie?
No. Do I explain it now? I guess
We can wait.
Okay.
We can wait. Okay. So, I just have that Greta reacts to that whole situation. She, like, has a little internal, like, oh, I had sex for the first time. That was crazy. And he did this weird thing where he didn't want to magically bond with me when we were going to have sex. And then, yeah.
Yeah. He also comments, too, just, like, a point that we've talked about before. Like, she laughs at something he does while they're in the middle of their throes. And we talked about that in, like...
Yeah.
Bridgerton, about how we really liked that. But again, in Bridgerton, or whatever one we read, the Bridgerton series, they don't literally comment like, haha, I like how my wife laughs while I'm having sex.
Yeah.
We just comment, we talked about how we liked it because it was so...
That they still had personality.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
So their personality was still in it. It was way more organic. It wasn't like that superficial what you see on TV.
Yeah. But
this was literally, like, she laughed, and then his comments were, I love a girl who laughs while she...
Yes.
Like, we don't need it.
I know. And that was, I think, this story generally was a little too telly.
Yeah.
As opposed to showy.
Yeah.
But it was extremely short, so maybe that was why.
I got really messed up in my chapters. I just wrote chapter, I don't know.
I wrote this a Rye chapter. So... Idris tells him what Cass did.
Yeah.
And Rye thinks about wanting to fuck Idris with his brother.
Yeah. Did we know it was a reverse harem before we started?
I think so. I knew at least.
I don't know if I, like, it really weirded me out that they were twins.
Yeah.
I'm like, reverse harem, but why? Like, the first thing they do that I was like, oh, this this is weird. And then I was like, maybe I'm judgmental. And then they progress into weirdness.
Yeah.
But the first thing they do is, like, cuddle under the at the fire to keep warm. And I was like,
They're brothers.
They're brothers.
It's fine.
I was like, if they were sisters, it would be totally fine. So that's, like, maybe a cultural thing that we're, like...
Yeah, a little...
Brothers can't snuggle.
Cuddle, yeah.
But then, in this chapter, he talks about how he never has sex without his brother. It is always a two-man job.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope. It's like, I mean, this is that dang thing. I was watching a video about twins, and it was actually triplets, but whatever, it's the same thing. And they were trying to, it was a group of a whole bunch of triplets, and they were trying to figure out which three weren't actually triplets. And one of the questions that was asked was, what are questions that triplets always get asked, and they all had to answer. And the boys all said things like, they always will ask us if we like to sleep with the same women. That, like, they'll always ask us, they'll, like, ask us very sexual questions as if we are one man who all want to sleep with the same people at the same time. Like, what stereotype has been created? And it was a very man thing. The triplets that were men got those questions, but the triplets that were women did not.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's also, it's just very, like, the fetishization of twins, but, like, really melding them into one person. Yeah. And the weird thing about this, I feel like, is they didn't have to be twins.
No.
Because they were very different people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like, one of them was, like, all about, like having raising a family and having children. The other one was about, like, being free and roaming the world and fighting for the priestess's rights. Like,
yeah, they could have grown up together. They could have been, like, close friends.
Yeah.
I think I maybe could have handled cousins. Not, like, I wouldn't have loved cousins, but
twin brothers.
That's just a lot. That's a lot as someone with a sibling. I don't want to do that.
And, like, we haven't even gotten into the sex yet. All we've heard at this point is the sentence that they like to have sex with each other. Then we have to read in detail what that means.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Okay.
And, like, the thing is, reading it, I'm just like, I'll just pretend they're not brothers.
I don't actually think they referenced it during the sex, but there was a point in the sex that I was very confused about where all the bodies were. And when I realized it, I was like, no, that was
a little too close.
At least the first time they have sex again. But anyways,
back
to where we are.
Back to where
that
we
hasn't
are.
Happened yet.
So I wrote, it's some kind of magic island with a mural.
Yeah. And the mural is, like, of a priestess and four guys.
Yeah.
And Idris is like, no one look. And Greta's like, one day I'll come back and figure out what it was. And I was like, obviously it was you five. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, obviously this is directly connected to you. Can't you notice
that
there's one female priestess
and
with
a bunch
four
of magic
people?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
But anyways, that, like, they all have this, like, I can't believe we're here. We shouldn't have got stopped here.
And then they just move on with their life. Yeah, so chapter 6?
I don't know.
Okay. I have they leave and go to Kolos.
Yes, to get supplies, because they need to pick up supplies and food and stuff.
I wrote that Idris's dragon is irritated, and he has a weird ham-fisted conversation with a bull man.
Well, this is when we get some of the foreshadowing that I did not... So we get the foreshadowing that... Because he lives very near here.
Yeah.
To this island. And his dragon is irritated because his dragon wants to go back to his island.
His zone.
And he's also irritated because the Bool know
that
Greta is missing.
Yeah.
And it's clear that this dude suspects
him.
Idris.
Yeah.
Which makes the dragon worried because the dragon and him are hiding a treasure back at his house.
Yeah.
And it's very clearly... super, super heavily implied that the treasure is a priestess.
The treasure Like, they just talk about it. It's a treasure.
And yeah, but,
very,
like,
very valuable.
When he talks about that he's saving a priestess, he literally says something like, isn't it ironic that I'm saving a priestess while I've got my treasure back home? Like, it's so not subtle.
Maybe that's why I wrote it's ham-fisted. Like, it's just very, like, I don't know, heavy foreshadowing.
But I was wrong about some of this foreshadowing, so we'll get to that when it happens. Because I mean, at this point, I was like, he's obviously got a priestess in his house. Whatever.
Yeah.
So him and Casper are going to get food.
Yeah.
While Greta has sex with the twins.
Yeah. I wrote that Idris really wishes he'd been the one to deflower her.
Yeah.
Like, he's really, like, upset about it.
Yes. And Casper is really upset that he didn't
go all the way emotionally. Yeah. We switch to Elaine's perspective, which I guess is the first time
we've got him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote him and his brother are a package deal, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they offered, they're like, hey, Greta, let's go have a look around town as they talk about how the Bool all hang out in this specific town.
And how this specific town is, like, the worst for magic people.
Yeah.
Like, this one is,
it's
like,
it's dangerous for magic users to be in. It's full of people that want to kill her. And they're like, let's go.
I know. So they're wandering the town, and there's some Bools. And this part I really didn't like. There's, like, some Bool guards walking by. And the twins are like, quick. One of them whispers in her ear, and he's like, quick, pretend you're our slut. So as they walk past the guard, they're like, we're going to give you a good time tonight, woman. I'm going to, I don't know, rough you up so good. And she's like, ooh, ah. And the Bool are like, oh, yeah. And they just keep walking. And I was like, what is this world? What is this world?
Yeah.
But they're pretending to be sexy has turned them all on.
Yeah, I have another quote.
Okay. I wonder if I my worst line is here, and I was like, I can't imagine that you wouldn't have picked it up either. So
she has a wide mouth.
Oh!
Is it the same?
No.
She has a wide mouth. A two-cock mouth. As Rye was.
I missed that one. Oh my word, that's why she had a wide mouth reference so many times, so that it would be a perfect for reverse harem. No. Mine was, as they're, like, prepping for their...
I actually have three lines, so maybe one of them will match.
Okay.
Or we just, like, keep back and forth lines trying to horrify each other worse.
I mean, mine's not horrifying. I was just like, come on. So they're, like, getting ready to have their sexy time. And I don't know which one of the twins says it, but one of them says, I feel the need to breathe.
Yeah, no, I wrote, I feel my cock starting to plump up. And I was like, I don't know why, but that just, like, didn't do it for me. Oh.
Okay. I have one other thing, but it feels, like, so inappropriate. I'm just like, I don't want to read it out loud.
Oh, no, I wrote, I feel the need to breathe.
Okay.
Aww,
yeah.
That's nice.
We both thought it. It was,
yeah.
It was,
and like, then I wrote, apparently they have good sex, though.
Yeah. So. Well, okay, so the thing I wrote, because I was, like, really trying to figure out their positions. Because in one point...
I mean, based on the fact that they were like, that her mouth fits two cocks, I feel like whatever, they don't care about how close.
No,
yeah.
They don't. But I just, there was a point where one guy was inside her and the other guy was using his penis, the stimulator clitoris. And I was like, how are they doing that?
I think one is behind, maybe.
And she was like sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
I still think
the legs would not work. I think if you consider how many legs are there, that can't happen, but maybe.
It was happening.
Yeah.
It took me a while. I really had to, like, think about it.
You're, like, mentally mashing some Barbies together in your mind, like, how?
Yeah. So we actually switched back to...
Idris and Cass. Yeah.
And I have another dumb line. Just, like, it was just dumb. It was dumb. So they're walking back and talking about Greta.
Mm-hmm.
And Idris, like, asks him, Casper, like, something about, like, why he didn't go all the way or something.
Yeah.
And he says, you mean with her? Like, he says her. And Idris's response is, show some respect. Her name is Greta.
Hey, like, how is, there's, who else would we be talking about?
It was so bad. I was like, what? Calling a girl her after it's been
when there's one girl you interact with
is not disrespectful. It's not.
Yeah.
And he was so mad at him.
Yeah.
And it really, I couldn't. It wasn't like sex cringe. I was just like cringe. I'm like, why, author? Why did you include this little, like,
yeah,
section?
Yeah.
It could have just...
It's because Idris is, like, protective or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But it doesn't make me feel like he's protective. It makes me feel like he's an idiot. Like, that's a bad showing. It doesn't make me go, oh look at him. It makes me go,
what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now they're walking back. And they feel energy.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we gotta go. Because what has happened is that they magic bonded with her. They have magic bonded with her.
Yeah.
Which is really powerful.
Yeah. And now she's like even more visible.
And they know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that the benefactor lady, did we ever say this?
There's a benefactor lady who like paid them
like,
to go.
Like shows
with her.
Up.
Yeah.
Like, magically.
Yeah.
Like a hologram or whatever. Yeah. And is like, the Bool know you're where you are. They're coming.
Yeah. So Idris and Cass show up, and then Cass is like, oh, I could have magic bonded with her. And he's just really sad that he missed out on
that. Well, actually, he wanted to join. He's like starting to take off his clothes, and Idris was like, stop it.
We have to go.
We've got to get out of here. And he talks about how vulnerable they're going to be once they're finished. And he's like, we need to protect them.
Yeah.
It was very weird. It was all so weird.
Yeah, so I wrote, Greta thinks about the mural and meets her benefactor by force draining Elaine. I think she, like, has to use magic power, so then she, like, draws
from
him.
Yeah, because the lady comes, but she's not strong enough to...
So then she, like, takes a bunch of power from him. Yeah.
And then she feels really bad because now they're, like, connected, so she can do that.
She can do
more
that.
More easily. Yeah. She could before, but now it's, like... Now they're just, like, really connected.
Yeah.
Like, she can feel his thoughts and stuff now, too.
Yeah.
They're, like, real connected.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then the lady's like, you have to hurry. And they're like, oh, no, we have to hurry. And I'm like, oh, if only you didn't stop to fuck constantly. And then I wrote, Idris rips apart and becomes a dragon.
Yeah. Okay, wait. You're going really fast.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. What do you got for chapter 8?
Let me see what else I have. Wait. Yes. Because the Bool know that where she is. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Idris was at this island makes him go, oh, the Bool know that I'm involved with her. So now he's a dragon and he's like, I've got to go get my treasure.
My other treasure.
And he's like, I'm so sorry.
I gotta go.
And she's like...
Don't go.
They all are like, don't go. And they can't believe he's being such an ass.
Yeah.
And he's like,
sorry.
And his dragon basically is like, he's just basically saying this as his dragon's taking over. He's like, got a few seconds before his dragon's like, nah, we're out.
We gotta go.
Yeah. So he flies away.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, we're screwed. And then what?
I wrote Cass wants the dragon. Like, he's just like, wow, dragon's so hot, as he flies away and leaves them in
he's
the
like,
ocean.
He's like, I want him even more. Yeah. And she says in this moment that she loves Idris. I'm like, you guys.
Yeah.
He's literally abandoning you.
Yeah.
To potentially die.
And like, she has realized you need 4 to stabilize a priestess.
Because,
it's like a table.
Because how she figures it out is the Bool are literally right behind them like, in their own boats.
Yeah.
And she soul searches to see what's happening over there. So the Bool have a priestess on their boat. Mm-hmm. And she sees this priestess and she can see its aura. And her aura is really weak. And she can see her aura, which is like 2 times stronger. And then she's like... The mosaic. It's a priest and her four people, and that makes us even stronger than if we were only a priestess without anybody.
Yeah. So she's like,
I need Idris.
I need to fuck more men.
And I need Caspar to, like, fully commit to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mate the way that I mated with the boys.
Yeah.
The twins.
Yeah. So, chapter 10, Idris.
Yeah.
So he goes and shockingly gets his treasure, which is, like, a little girl who is a priestess.
And that was what I was, like, so shocked about. Because I was like, it's a priestess. But as I reread it, I was like, oh, yeah, he's got, like, another lady. And I was, like, confused about how he was so into her
if
and
he
then
has
I was like, he has another lady, but then he's also into her. Like, Casper, whatever. But I was like, I guess he's just into multiple women. And then it was a child, and I really did not remember that it was a child. I was like, wow. That's insane.
Like, the fact that you did not remember
No.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine that it was. But the whole book, I was trying to figure out, like,
who is this other woman?
Who is this other woman? And, like, does she play into it? Does she join them? And then it was a child, and I was like, oh, that's why she didn't join them.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
I just couldn't believe that I couldn't remember that. And then it hit, and I was like, oh. So, yeah, he arrives, and the child is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm protecting you. And she's like, no, your job is to protect the priestess. And he's like, but you're my priestess. And then she's like, no, go back. And he's like, okay. And so he does.
Yep. Yep. The inner dragon who demanded that they get back and was like, yeah, okay, you're right, little girl. And he just goes.
The little girl says she'll be safe.
Yeah. So that's good. Trust her.
So back he goes. And now he also has figured out that he needs to
bond with her. And he's like, will you have me? And she's like, yes. And then they are just bonded.
Like, I think in my head, I read this yesterday, but I still feel like, I'm like, am I right about this? In my head, what happened is he picks all four of them up in his wings and holds them all inside him. And then they all, like, commit to each other.
Maybe. I have no idea, but that might have happened.
I don't actually know, but that's how I pictured it. I have no idea if the author described it that way, but that is what I pictured was happening.
I wrote they're just bam bonded. Yeah. Like, they're good now.
And then he says, like, but once this is over, we'll have a real bonding session, like the physical bonding that we're missing out on now.
Yeah. And then chapter 11.
And now she's just super strong and she, like, makes the bulls go away.
Yeah.
And it's chapter 11.
Yeah, it's chapter 11. And then she realizes, because she can hear his thoughts now, she realizes that he has a priestess trapped in a tower.
You're evil. You've been secluding a girl just as Bool have been secluding me.
Yep. And
and he's like, I am evil. I am a bad man.
And then the whole, like, bond is destroyed and they're, like, so sad.
And he flies away and they're all like, she's like, I can't believe I bonded with him. I'm like, me either. Why didn't you bond with him? He's a stranger. Like, that's what you get. That's what you get. It's like married at first sight. You don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You got into a guy who might kidnap just small children.
Yeah, so then they get to her grandmother, right?
Yeah. So, like, there's still one Bool. Okay, also, the fact that once they get to this island, the Bool just can't come get them anymore. I was like, what?
Why?
Can't the Bool just come to the island?
Yeah, so they get this island.
But once they get to the island, the Bool can't get them anymore.
Yeah.
And they're washed up on the beach, I guess.
Their boat broke.
Capsized? I don't know.
I don't know.
And they wash up on the beach, and this old lady comes, and she is her grandma.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was rescued and
she has four lovers.
She has four lovers, yes. Yeah,
the grandmother does.
Yes.
Which and I thought is just like would be hilarious to like meet your grandmother and she's just got like four fuck boys.
It's like that other book we read, Pinch Me.
Remember? Yeah, with
with the mom who had all her dead husbands came back.
Yeah.
But yeah, the grandma rescued her and like had a feeling that these four girls four men would be her, like, mates. And that she was like, hopefully they'll mate on the way.
Yeah. Like, the grandmother, like, planned this out and was like, yeah, this should work out.
And then so what's explained in all of this is, like, yes, four magic wielders with a priestess, you get extra strong and you get real, like, a true connection with your goddess. But if you don't find your mate, you, like...
It's bad.
It's really bad because she's, like... Greta asks her mom, like, asks, is my mom here? And the grandma's like, she is, but she's very unwell because she never found her mates.
Yeah.
So she's, like, dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wondered if there was something about, like, if you have sex with a mortal, do you lose your goddess?
I don't know.
Because, like, Nona lost her goddess.
Yeah. It's implied that, yeah, it's really bad if you are, if you don't stay a virgin kind of thing.
Yeah. But I know, like, so basically what is explained also by Nona about that island. Mm-hmm. Do you have any of this?
No.
Are you done?
I have, like, two more points.
And then what, chapter 12? Are you literally done?
Oh, no, then I have the epilogue. It's sex.
Okay.
Sexy.
Yeah, and this epilogue is all sex. So, chapter 12 explains...
Actually, sorry, I do have one note. She talks to her grandmother about priestesses. It's not interesting.
Because the only thing that it explains is the island. And okay. I really don't understand why the island was such a big deal. So, like, the whole history of the priestesses, the grandma explains to her. But basically what happened was, like, the priestesses, everyone intermingled. There was no, like, system of, like, priestesses being captured by the bulls, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, a long, long time ago, a volcano on that island exploded.
Yeah.
And the Bool were like, that's the goddesses telling us that we're, like, doing something wrong with the priestesses. So they decide to capture the priestesses, and then they come up with this, like, they, like, instill in the priestesses, you can't be with magic wielders, and that's why they're so opposed to any other magic wielders coming into their town, because the priestesses are naturally drawn to the magic wielders because they're trying to find their mates.
Their people,
to become really powerful.
Okay.
But, like, the Bool think that the goddesses don't want that anymore, so they, like, ban magic from their towns except for the priestesses to keep the priestesses away from the magic wielders.
Okay. Okay.
Which all, I was like, okay, that all makes sense. You filled in all of the things, but why was the island, like, enchanted? And why was it a bad idea for them to go there?
I don't know, man.
I was like, that, there's the island connection, but, like,
why
was Rye getting, like, bad vibes? Like,
yeah.
That island was just a place that a volcano happened.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that the goddesses would want the magic people to go there to, like, restore.
Yeah, I don't. But I don't have the answer to your question.
That one was dumb. Do I have anything else before the epilogue, which is just straight up sex?
We have to resolve the thing with Idris. So oh, yeah. I wrote, Idris flies really high, then falls into the sea. and then I wrote that she, like, wakes up. I don't know why she was sleeping. And I wrote, and everything is fine for some reason.
Yeah, that's legitimately what happens. She wakes up from, like, in the morning time.
Yeah.
And Idris is just there. And Idris is like, I should have told you. And she's like, I know you're just protecting the girl. And then Idris explains that, like, he's been raising her since birth. Like, he somehow was with a priestess whose baby died. And he took the baby. And she's like, oh, I should have known that all along. And then they're fine.
Yeah.
And that's how that conflict gets resolved.
Yeah, I wrote, she apologizes for not giving him a chance to explain. And I'm just like, that's crazy that this is the conflict that we had.
I also, the other only thing I have in here, he, like, says a quote, and I only wrote it because, like, he says, as a famous philosopher once said, and then he says, love is a guide, a passion for what is good, and a horror for what is degrading. And I was like, did a philosopher say this? So I Googled it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you'd think.
Yeah.
You'd just find out.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. I didn't look very hard, but there was, like, references to the Wuthering Heights.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't think that you would consider that author a philosopher. But also, every article I read never actually had that quote in it either. It was just like, you know, there was a couple sentences in Wuthering Heights that talk about love being degrading. And I was like, that's not actually the quote. And I thought it was very interesting that she decided to be like, a philosopher said this. And I was like, which philosopher?
Maybe the in
their world. But, like, what a weird thing to do.
Yeah. The world building. Yeah. So
then we go to epilogue, which is like, way more wild.
Yeah.
The wildest sex I've ever read about. I don't know what you wrote about
I literally
it.
Wrote just some quotes, which was, the room smells of hot wax from the candles and the musk of aroused men.
I actually wrote at the end, before the epilogue, wasn't as much sex as I remembered.
And then you got
to And it. Then I got to the epilogue, because, like, there was two sex scenes in the whole book.
Yeah, there was, like...
There was her and Casper, and then her and the twins.
Yeah.
And then the epilogue came, and I was like, oh, here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah. Because, like, it's... Yeah. It yeah. was really hardcore. I mean...
I wrote one other line, which is just that she feels something cock through a channel. through the wall of a channel. And I was like, yeah, that's a lot of penises you've got there.
One thing they do before the whole sex scene, she, like, talks about how much fun they have, and I just think this is really ridiculous, but, like, a game they like to play is who can make a guy come faster, so they'll, like, do blowjob races.
That's actually really funny. That's just funny, like, in terms of, like, what happens in group sex? We just have blowjob races.
And she talks about how, like, she always wins because, I don't know.
She's the woman.
She's the woman. I know. Something about how, like, well, she was doing it, like, it was, like, Casper and Idris together and then her with one of the twins.
Yeah.
And whoever was, like, receiving was like, I'm going to resist just to make him lose.
Yeah.
And then, like, the whole sex is, what's his face, in charge. Idris is in charge. Yeah. And they, like, do some, like, them. Really wild things.
Yes, yeah,
I mean, the men, the twins have, like, well, they do double penetration. Yeah. So, like, real close penises. Yeah. There's, earlier, they were, like, in different zones of her body. No more. No more.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember enough of the sex. Like,
I was just, I wrote, oh my gosh. I mean, I was like, this is... so much. It was like, this is just written porn.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It wasn't, I was like, I feel like there's somewhat of a difference between erotica and porn.
Yeah.
But I was like, we have transferred into just, like, this is the script you would get as a porn actor on what you're gonna do next.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because I feel like, this is obviously written for women. And so it's, like, it's funny to me that women... do need, like, a whole plot for, like, how the four people got into the room to have sex. And then they're like, okay, now I can watch my porn. And I just, I don't know. I support women who need anyone who decides they need, like, the whole backstory of how the group sex happened.
Yeah. Not for me.
No, bit too much going on.
Yeah, I also read. I didn't read this one, thankfully, but I read her sex scene with Casper while I was in the winter's shopping line because I was trying to read it all so we could do this podcast. So I was like reading it any chance I could get, and while I was in line, I was like shifting my body. I was like, no one see what I'm doing here. Don't read over my phone, please. And I'm very glad I was not reading that vlog as I was in the winner's line. I was here in the comfort of my own home where no one could see the words what? On my page.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So, yeah, that was...
Yeah, that was the...
How do we feel about these four men? Like, do we rate them... Do we consider them as one entity?
Unit?
Or was there one that you liked better?
I liked
the others.
Casper the most. I didn't like his sex scene as much, but I liked him as a character.
Uh-huh.
That's what I remember. Idris, I felt, like, annoying and stereotypical to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're just supposed to love him immediately.
Yeah.
And everyone just loved him immediately, and I was like, oh, there's nothing about you that I love.
I liked one of the twins. One of them was, like, happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. I think that was Rye. I don't know.
I could see it being... Elaine, though, because they talk, they have a lot of, like the, how air is, and how, like, light. Air is light and fluffy, and the ground is solid and sturdy.
I think he had lines that made me laugh.
Mm. And so, also, while I'm looking this up, book two, and actually right at the very end.
I wrote Rye says need to breed.
Okay, it's Rye. Right at the very end of the epilogue, or is it right at the very end of the book, she gets a message from her sister.
Yeah.
And her sister has been sold to Lord Argon, and he's gonna, like, use her to get revenge on Greta. And so book two, I read in the reviews, is her sister's story.
Getting with four other dudes?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if you were into this one, you'd probably be like, yeah, great.
That one got worse reviews because they said they tried to put too much into it.
Yeah.
Which I thought, I wonder what that means. I will not read it to find out. But they were like, it's too much story. Like, they felt it was, like, too overwhelming to follow along.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That there was too much plot in the second one. Because there was a lot of plot in this one.
There was.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's, I mean, now we've gone through it.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit of plot.
Fair.
We really just didn't remember.
No. No. But I feel like it was important that we do this one in terms of, like, now we can be like, yep, we did a reverse harem one.
Yes.
Check. And we have done, like, an interstellar, like, we've done two space ones, actually.
Yes.
We did Lizard Man and Rocket in My Pocket.
Yeah.
And we did the Immortal one, which was kind of like vampires.
Yeah.
We probably should do, like, a real vampires one. I just feel like we have to do all the tropes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we had magic people in this one.
Yeah.
I think we could do better for magic people, though, if we were doing just, like...
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought, like, I remember when they, like, got rid of the Bool, and literally the line was, now we were stronger, so we pushed them away. Like, it does not describe what they
happened.
Did. Like, did they use their force? Or, like, all of a sudden the Bool were just further away from them? So it was very, like...
Things resolved really easily. Yeah,
and it wasn't... in terms of the magic, we didn't really get that, like, oh, this is what they could do.
No.
It was just, oh, yeah, he can control air, so I guess he made the winds blow. Like, I have to guess that,
because
they didn't even say the winds got stronger and they got pushed away. It was literally like, we did it. We did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so should I tell you some of the ones that I've got on this?
Yeah. What are we going to do in season three?
Wait. Did we finish talking about these guys?
Okay, sorry.
We got really distracted.
Yeah. Mariah, who is your favorite of the four guys?
Well, yeah, I think if Rye is apparently the funny one, then I would probably say Rye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, in terms of if we were to rank them, because we usually talk about that, too.
Okay, yeah. I would rank the four of them.
I would put them all together.
Yeah, I would put them all together, and I would probably put them kind of high on the list, honestly. Like, I'm not going to pull out the list because I don't want to be that specific.
No.
But I would put them higher than some of the boring guys.
Yeah.
You know? Even though, like, as a unit, maybe because there's, like, four people, it seems like they have a lot of personality, even though individually they don't.
They don't. But if you think about all of the things, like, you know, one of them is protecting this young girl, and one of them is trying to honor his mother, and one of them is, like, fighting for a better world, and one of them's, like, family-oriented. Like, you get one guy with all that, and you're like, wow. A pretty good package here.
Yeah. And none of them were, like, critically horrible.
No.
Yeah, like, Idris is kind of the worst to me.
Yeah.
But he wasn't even, like, that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that just makes it... So, like, in terms of their moral code, they're all good.
Yeah.
The thing that was the struggle was actually finding them attractive.
Yeah.
Because we don't get anything that makes me think they're attractive other than her saying...
They are attractive, and I will have sex with them.
Yes. And that's just not enough for me.
Yeah. No, individually, the guys don't, like, really do... Like, she literally meets them and then is, like, banging them.
Yeah.
So,
like, yeah.
It's not...
See, man.
Yeah. We bang.
Yeah.
So it's not really, man. Like... Yeah, they didn't have a lot for me.
So, yeah, like, I would say, like, close to mid...
Yeah,
like
zone.
Mid above.
Above the murderers, I think. Yeah.
So, that is a wrap for Secluded by Petra Abernathy. Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about season three.
So, some of the books we're doing, Mariah has given me A Court of... Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. So I'm going to try to read that one.
Which is, like, talked about extensively on all over yeah. social media. So I got it from the library because that's what we do. There's a bunch that I, like, saved on.
Yeah. So these are ones that
these are like Amazon's,
we might do.
And they're Amazon specials, so they're free somehow. But you have to, like, how much do you pay a month for this?
I don't remember.
So, like, but not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. It's, like, 10 bucks or something, I think.
Okay. So if you want to read any of these, let's see. I've got one that's called West Side Love Story, which is a Romeo and Juliet play, but Latino.
Oh, yep. Interesting.
Faking with Benefits, which sounds like a relationship where they pretend that
they're
together and they're not, but they're going to sleep with each other. The Selection.
Yeah, that's like an older one, isn't it?
It's an older one, and it's being turned into a TV show or a movie.
Ooh.
Okay. And I saw that one on Instagram, and someone said, like, it was literally a meme that was, like, books becoming TV shows or movies. So I just looked to see any of them were free, and this one was. Birthday Girl.
Okay.
Which I believe is a older man, younger girl.
Okay.
Story.
That's something. Do I sound excited, guys?
I mean, these are all Amazon specials.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
And then Guild, which is a story about King Midas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of fun.
And he turns a girl to gold, and now she's his prisoner.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be something.
So those are some of the Amazon specials. I have more, though. I, like, have lists everywhere.
Okay.
So let me see. So these are, like, actual novels.
Yeah, okay.
So we have one called The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston, which is about a ghostwriter.
Okay.
Do you know what a ghostwriter is?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Yeah. Like, writes for somebody.
Okay. I think she writes romances. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She writes romances, has a really bad breakup, goes to this town, and meets a man while she's there.
Yeah.
Pretty stereotypical. Thank You, Next. Alex Turner is never the one, but always the last one. An ex dates before finding love.
Oh.
And so she's determined to figure out what she has done to make these men want to commit to the next one.
Yeah, but not her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she goes on a journey with her friends and this random dude named Alex to figure it out. And while she's doing it, she's like, maybe I've been with the man that all along. Yeah. Alex, So that was one that I put. Can't Look Away, which is a sexy suspense novel.
Oh.
23-year-old Molly Diamond is a barista. One night at a concert, she locks eyes with the lead singer and can't look away. They fall in love. But then she doesn't marry him. 10 years later, she's married to some other dude. And more things happen.
Thanks. That was really exciting.
It's just like, it got really interesting. It was interesting. And now it's like, now Molly can't have a baby. And then she goes to yoga. Like, where is it going? She meets a new friend and they become, like, they open up to each other. But Sabrina has her own reasons for moving to this town that Molly lives in. And as Sabrina's secrets are slowly unspooled, her connection to Molly becomes clearer, as do secrets of Molly's own, which she's worked hard to keep buried. Meanwhile, a new version of Jake's hit song is on the radio, forcing Molly to confront her past and ask the ultimate question. What happens when life turns out nothing like we thought it would?
Wow.
First person's review. I have nothing positive to say. But then, the average review is 4.5 stars, so...
So maybe it's okay. Or maybe we will become that reviewer.
This one's got magic in it. A Violet Made of Thorns by Gina Chen. Darkly enchanting fantasy debut about a morally gray witch, a cursed prince, and a prophecy that ignites their fated, twisted destinies.
Wow. All right.
And that is all. I have one more called People We Meet on Vacation.
Okay.
But I think it's about... Oh no, it is about a guy and a girl.
Ha ha ha.
Two people who never seem compatible. And then they go on vacation.
Oh, they go on vacation.
So anyways, so many books.
Yeah, those are some of the ones no guarantees we'll read all... Actually, maybe there's guarantees we'll read all of those. But...
I mean, some of those are Amazon specials, which means that we can pop those out like nobody's business.
Yeah. So we'll... we'll see you next year. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on Instagram. Message us if you have requests. Check out our website. If you want to support us on Patreon, that'd be sick too. And then you can give us book requests there. That's all. Bye-bye. Do you want to say bye?
Goodbye.
This is your last chance. What was that?
I just don't think my voice saying other than goodbye. Can't wait to pod again.
That was so much better. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.